This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 26. And it is, of course, presented by Hooters. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, the original Hooters brand has 12 locations to serve you. That includes their newest location in Odessa, just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. In particular, you will like it if you enjoy outdoor dining. They also have a very spacious indoor area as well. Check it out. And of course, for easy online ordering from any of the 12 original Hooters brand locations in the Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com, click the orange order icon in the upper right-hand corner, and go from there. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing support and presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Would love to hear from any of my league players in podcast leagues or the foundation, or for those of you listening around the country, send me your week one results as it relates to anything you picked up on, what you're happy with, what you're unhappy with, your observations, as we're all trying to accomplish the same goal here. One of the things that went into some of my decision-making as it related to my leagues, and something that I talked about in previous podcasts based on the data from 2020 and based on the continuing evolution of the National Football League into primarily a passing league with more and more quarterbacks producing more and more points and less running backs touching the ball and producing enough significantly to merit high draft position. Remember, I talked about from my 21st century standard scoring settings from 2020, there were really only three elite running backs. Three. And they were all outscored by the top 10 quarterbacks. And then other running backs were outscored by both Hill and Adams. So you had the top 10 quarterbacks, then you had three running backs in order. That was Kamara, Cook, Henry, and then you had Adams and Hill, and right around there was Kelsey as a third top pass catcher before you got to any other running backs. James Robinson finishing the year in my scoring settings at RB4, and of course destroyed by the fact that Urban Meyer is now his boss. Those of you who didn't listen to me and still invested highly in James Robinson, even after I did the podcast that he was not on my draft board, even after the Travis Etienne injury because of Urban Meyer's inability to evaluate him properly and wanting to play Carlos Hyde instead, well, I tried to warn you, and that played out significantly in game one in the loss to the Texans. So hopefully for James Robinson, Urban lies about something and wiggles his way out and takes the USC job, and James Robinson can get back to being a productive running back. Or the Jaguars could do him a favor and just trade him to Baltimore, because I'm sure the Ravens would love to have him and would utilize him properly. So that all said, I remember when I did the podcast league, I play in the NFL, and as I was working my way around during the dinner break in the NFL league, the ass man himself from the foundation last year, who finished in dead last, did note to me that I didn't take running backs early, that my early picks were wide receivers and quarterback before I ever selected running backs. That was part of my approach this year, especially if I wasn't picking insanely early in the first round. Look, in the foundation, I ended up with the second pick. So I was going to take my horse in Derrick Henry. But in the NFL, I believe I was picking seventh or eighth. And rather than take a running back in that position that I didn't feel would justify the value of the pick, I chose wide receiver that I felt did justify the value of the pick. And then I went wide receiver second round and quarterback in the third round. So just reviewing now that Raiders Ravens in a wild game to finish week one is complete as we record this on late Tuesday morning. Reviewing my scoring settings, we have, I believe, roughly 20 running backs. Is it 19? Let's see, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21. I guess that's 20. 25, 24, 23, 22, 21. Okay. 20 running backs. It might be 21. Who had double digits or better. That's what you want out of every starter is double digits or better. So just to make my point, and it's a very small sample size, so we'll do this again, that if you felt obligated in the early rounds to get your RB1 and RB2, you might not be getting the value for that pick if you passed on other productive wide receivers and a dual threat quarterback. So let's just go down the list in order of these 20 running backs that scored in my scoring settings 10 points or better in week one. First one was Joe Mixon. I'm guessing none of you took Joe Mixon in the first round. He was more of a second or a third round running back and probably a little off from where he was the previous year, but touched the ball 33 times in the Bengals win against the Vikings. Nick Chubb. Now, I really like Nick Chubb. I don't own him. I own Hunt, but it's because Cleveland doesn't play the same offense that most NFL teams do. Kevin Stefanski has always emphasized the running game. So you have a coach there that is going to feed not one, but two running backs. This is why Kareem Hunt is a better fantasy play weekly than Baker Mayfield is. So Chubb finished RB2, touched the ball 17 times, 101 yards in tandem offense, and two touchdowns, although he had a fumble lost. All right, so Chubb justified his draft position week one. I couldn't get him in the NFL podcast league. Had I been able to pick Chubb, I would have. He went one or two picks in front of me. Christian McCaffrey, consensus number one overall pick, love McCaffrey, justified his position and always will as long as he's healthy. McCaffrey put up 18.7 points in my scoring settings. A very, what's the right word here? 98 on the ground, 89 in terms of via the air, in terms of yardage. Didn't get in the end zone, but certainly justified it. RB4 was David Montgomery. I sense Montgomery went second or third round in most drafts just because people are really scared off by the Bears coaching situation, the fact that they're just a bad offense, not knowing what to make of Dalton and Fields. We don't have much more clarity after the first game. I will say Montgomery looks the part. I'm starting to feel bad for him as I feel bad for James Robinson, although at least Nagy uses Montgomery, even if Nagy can't win. Montgomery, 108 yards rushing, one touchdown. He also caught one ball for 10 yards, even though Darren Williams, I think, got double-digit touches as well, or close. Nagy uses running backs. So Montgomery was RB4. So he justified his draft position. RB5, here's where it gets interesting. RB5, Melvin Gordon was not picked early or mid rounds or at all in some leagues. Jamal Williams of the Lions was not picked early or mid round or at all in some leagues, was RB6. Eli Mitchell, all the credit to Adam Schefter on this one. I'm glad I was watching Fantasy Football Now, and I'm glad fucking Formula One wasn't bumping Fantasy Football Now when Schefter was on, off ESPN2, as it often does. So I heard Schefter talk about Eli Mitchell as his fantasy long shot. And because I'm so heavily invested in Niner running backs this year and that offense running the ball, I picked up Mitchell before 1 o'clock on Sunday. So anyone in one of my leagues rushing to pick up Eli Mitchell on the waiver wire this week gets a lump in their stocking, first Christmas reference. Didn't reference Alvin Kamara's Christmas Miracle 2020 yet, because I already have him. I didn't play him week one, but I have him, and I'm playing him week two. So Eli Mitchell was 7, drafted by nobody. Nobody. In their fantasy drafts. DeAndre Swift was RB8 from week one. I'm guessing DeAndre Swift was picked, but was probably picked 4th-ish, 5th round maybe. Maybe slipped to the 6th round. Just because he's a Lion. Just because last year was eh. Maybe because of Jamal Williams' presence. So 2 Lion running backs in the top 8. None drafted to be RB1s. Josh Jacobs is at 9. For those scared off by the Kenyon Drake signing, which seemingly has been ongoing for months, Jacobs didn't get a lot of yardage, but he did score 2 touchdowns. And is clearly still the goal line back. RB10, Tyson Williams. Next man up for the Baltimore Ravens. Although we saw more of Latavius Murray as the game went on, Williams got the start. Williams busted a big run on a 4th-and-1 from what, about the 34-yard line early in the game. I drafted Tyson Williams in the last round of the podcast league. So I have him to use this week. I could actually start this week without claiming either on waivers this week a backfield of Tyson Williams and Eli Mitchell if I wanted to. I'm not going to do that because on that same team I have Kareem Hunt. RB11 was Alvin Kamara. So there's one of those early running backs taken in the first round, but he was RB11. 10 running backs put up better points than Kamara in week one. Daryl Henderson was RB12. It wasn't pretty, but he got a goal line touch when Cooper Kupp was ruled down before crossing the goal line, and Henderson finished the job 70 yards, but Henderson touched the ball 17 times, Sony Michel just once. I think that will evolve going forward. I don't think the Rams just threw away 2 draft picks on Sony Michel to not use him. I just don't think they were in any need position to use Michel in that game, or Michel isn't up to speed yet. This just in, the McVay offense is probably a little more complicated than you think. Or, you know, McVay, it takes a while to learn it. So we're to RB13. There's Mark Ingram. Anybody draft him? Maybe some of you did, but late round. Dalvin Cook was RB14, selected in the first 3 or 4 running back, 3 or 4 picks of most drafts. He was RB14. Kareem Hunt, RB15. Miles Sanders, RB16, not drafted to be an RB1 by anyone. RB17 was Austin Eckler. Now we're down also to 11.7 points. So there were 16 running backs who produced more than Austin Eckler. That was the one more than any other running back. If you were taking Austin Eckler in round 1, I think that may be the reason you miss your fantasy playoffs. There was nothing that told me Austin Eckler was worthy of your first round draft pick. Nothing. RB17 in week 1. RB18 was Jonathan Taylor. Many of you took him probably somewhere between picks 5 and, I'm going to say, 5 and 9. Chase Edmonds was next. And the last running back to score double-digit points was Miles Sanders backup Kenneth Gainwell, who was either drafted in the last round of your draft or not, or you're trying to claim him on waiver. So there you go. This proving my point. The point being, I didn't see the value in just automatically going running back this year in the first two rounds based on the numbers of 2020, and it's validated at least through week one in 2021. As I scroll down further, many of you drafted Chris Carson to be your RB2. He did not score double-digit points. Many of you drafted Damian Harris to be your RB2. He did not score double-digit points. The fumble lost put him below that. Antonio Gibson was a disappointment, although he did touch the ball 23 times, so stay with him, especially with Fitzmagic now out for a couple of months. If you drafted, well, there's Derrick Henry. I mean, he touched the ball 20 times, but he didn't get in the end zone, so I didn't get my value out of Derrick Henry in week one. I am worried now that Arthur Smith isn't coordinating that offense a little bit. What other backs could you have? James Robinson, way down the list. And Ezekiel Elliott, way down the list, as Dallas adjusted very quickly an offensive game plan. And for those of you that say, well, Elliott did nothing in that game, Elliott was outstanding on blitz pickup. Go back and look at that game again, and you'll see how Elliott protected Dak Prescott. Elliott throwing his body in front of some really big, active front seven guys that the Bucs have to keep Dak Prescott upright. So maybe Elliott only had one run of any significance, but he was working hard that entire game for the better of the Cowboy offense. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, 12 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you, including their newest location in Odessa, just a minute west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. For easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com, click the orange icon that says order in the upper right-hand corner. Thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email to ask me fantasy football questions exclusively for podcast listeners is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com.